Hi, this is Jeff in Sachse, Texas, and just like Bob, I'm a tactical guy, and I like a tactical podcast.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's practical guy and practical podcast.
Oh, never mind.
This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network. Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show done by a practical guy, and that is me. Well, this time I got a chance to interview Ben Branham. He's been on this show many times. You've heard him, and some of you probably listened to his podcast as well, Modern Self-Protection Podcast, which is very good, also part of the Self Defense Radio Network. So Ben and I got together for lunch earlier this week. We planned out 2017. We got some classes coming up that we are going to be teaching. I'm going to go back on the road for a little while next year and teach some classes. So we are going to Utah. We're going to Dallas. Possibly up to Western Washington again, to Fort Discovery. And looks like we're probably going to be going up to Ohio to teach with Paul Carlson at the Safety Solutions Academy, and possibly Illinois or Wisconsin, and then Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we got a lot going on in 2017. And then, of course, we're doing the usual Houston and San Antonio classes early in 2017, which will be in January. So check those out. This show is sponsored by Concealment Solutions, makers of terrific holsters. I am right now using my Cobra outside the waistband holster for Glock pistols. I'm carrying my Glock 26 in it today, but oftentimes I carry my Glock 19. These holsters are so good, it's pretty much converted me to outside the waistband concealment, concealed carry. So check them out, concealmentsolutions.com. That's concealmentsolutions.com. If you use the coupon code HandgunWorld, one word, HandgunWorld, that coupon code at checkout gets you 10% off all of his products except for the belts. So please let him know that you heard about it on the Handgun World podcast. Well, with the elections coming up, Ben Branham and I talked about what we think you might want to start purchasing and doing it quickly. Now, we don't get real political in this interview. We just talk about guns and buying and what we think that you should be stocking up on right now. Because no matter which way the election goes, there could be some panic buying going on. And so that's pretty much the subject of our interview. So here we go with my special guest for this episode, Ben Branham of the Modern Self-Protection Podcast.
It was one of the worst mass murders committed by a single person. It happened down south. A lunatic killed 27 people, including his own mother, in a single pass. The killer used a six-shot revolver and a knife. Mass murderers find whatever tools they need, and those tools don't need to be sporting rifles or high-capacity clips. A slow, reloading revolver is all this fellow needed. Banning clips will not prevent a madman's massacre. But that doesn't matter to the gun control industry, who thinks inanimate objects are evil, but ignore the deranged people who misuse them. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Ben Branham's back again. Ben, how you doing?
Yay, me. Bob gave me a free meal so I could give a podcast with him.
This works all the time. All I got to do is buy you free lunch and you sing like a bird.
Yeah, one lunch and I'll do any. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having a good time. No, Bob's a real nice guy. He bought me lunch because just I don't know. You're a nice guy. You bought me lunch. I didn't even expect it. So thanks, Bob, for lunch. Hey, we're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast. So, you know, during lunch, Ben, we were talking about something that's probably weighing on most everybody's mind if you're a gun owner, and that is panic buying, the election coming up. You know, you work for a gun shop, and you go to gun shows all over the place. What are you seeing out there?
Well, there's a little bit of panic buying going on, not much. What people really seem to be zeroing in right now on is stripped lower receivers. So we're having a hard time keeping those in stock. The price went up a hair, and I say a hair, it went up, honestly, it went up $10 per receiver. So not a hard price, but when we're selling 100 of them every month, $10 becomes a lot of money for the shop, but not a lot of money for you guys out there. So the price already bumped up a little bit. So I expect that price to bump up again, and because we're having a hard time getting them. So the wholesalers don't have them. They're cranking them out at the factories. They're just going to go up. The other part on, for good time for you guys, if you don't have an AR rifle, buy one now. The prices have still hit the bottom. We are still putting AR rifles on sale. Right now I can get almost any AR complete rifle I want from any manufacturer. And they're on sale to us from the distributors and the wholesalers. So we're putting them on sale in the shop. So it's a really great time if you don't have an AR to buy one. And as the election comes in, if there's panic buying going on, that's the evil rifles is always what Miss Clinton is talking about getting rid of. They're gonna flip real fast. And that price, and this time, retailers are going to be on top of this price change. They're going to be on the front end of the learning curve on that. Prices are going to shoot up overnight, literally, because as soon as it looks like there's a line out the door, as soon as the line gets any bigger than it normally looks like at gun shows, as soon as I have people waiting at the shop to want to buy a rifle, they're waiting for us to open to buy a rifle, that price is doubling.
Yeah, and again, that's what... Well, Ben, I know you and other people, you like to tell me quit being a pessimist. But I'm a realist, not a pessimist. I just think Hillary's going to win. I hope she doesn't. I really hope she doesn't. And if you guys want to, you know, reach through the radio right now and slap me up, fine, go do it. But I think that she's going to win. And her main target is going to be black rifles.
Don't worry. Hold on a second, everybody. I'll get him for you.
There, I just got clipped on the back of the head.
I don't even want to hear that she's going to win. You may be right. It just seems like every election, anybody that tells the truth gets crucified in the media. Trump doesn't know how to not say what's on his mind, not say the truth, not say what he thinks, which is actually an admirable trait to me.
It is, yeah.
But he'll get crucified for everything he said. Even when he's trying to do by the teleprompter like everybody else, the media is trying to crucify him for using a teleprompter. Well, freaking everybody else uses a teleprompter, and nobody doesn't. I mean, nobody doesn't go off a teleprompter. Everybody uses one, and now they're saying he's such a jerk for using one. And it's just, so they don't like him. A lot of people don't like him. Bob, I know he's not your favorite person. So it kind of looks like it could go bad for us.
I'm going to vote for Trump, though.
Yeah, you live in Texas.
Well, that works. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because he is, for a lot of reasons, not just gun owners, but I think for freedom-loving people, he is the best choice that we have. He might not have been the best choice that was running 6 months ago, but between him and Hillary, he's the best choice.
Yes, and actually, he understands the free market, and he understands economics at a level that most of us don't. And a lot of people are going to argue with me about that. But look at the size of his bank account versus the size of your bank account. He understands economics on a different level than we do.
Yeah. So getting back to guns then. So, their panic buying is likely to start. And tell me what you think of this, Ben. I think it's important right now to be buying ammo and magazines.
If you don't have an AR right now, get one. This is the time for get an AR. No matter what. And I'll tell you, ammo is about the same price. It hasn't bumped yet. Magazine prices have bumped a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean like 5% for people actually buying them at retail. So just a hair. Ammo hasn't bumped, and the rifles are down. So right now, if you're going to buy something and you don't have an AR rifle, now is the time. I know I said that already, but you can't get... It can't be clearer than that. buy your freaking AR rifle right now. If you ever think you want one and you don't have one, now is the time. Magazines, they bumped a little bit. I'm waiting for the magazines to come back down a little bit. I think they will. They bumped for some weird reason. And really the weird reason was we bumped them at the shop because we could no longer get them at wholesale. And a lot of the other guys at the gun show, the same thing. We were, and here's another secret inside baseball. When you guys think about buying a PMAG, right, for your AR, we buy a case of PMAGs at a time. That's 100. So we don't just buy one or two. We buy a box of 100 PMAGs coming.
Sure, that makes sense.
So we can't get them right now. So we bumped the price a little bit. And a lot of the other retailers were the same way. So I don't know what's going on there, but the Glock PMAGs aren't at wholesale very much right now, especially the cool fun sticks. But the new Glock 19 PMAGs are at wholesale. So Magpul's still making them, but they're not. So it might have just bumped because Magpul is doing something weird and they're not making the rifle mags right now. They're making all the handgun mags. But when we can't get them, I told you, we're going to be quick as retailers to bump that price as soon as it looks like anything is going to happen. So it looked like something was going to happen. We bumped the price across the board, and then we might take it back down once we can get more magazines. Magazines, maybe not right now yet. Ammo has not bumped at all. Ammo would be my number two. And I tell you guys the truth, I bought a lower receiver and a lower receiver's parts kits because I got both of those on killer deals. And so I put my lower receiver and my parts kit together for $150. I have a complete lower receiver. That's sitting in my safe right now. I did a little bit of, I'm going to be on the leading edge of this. I really want another rifle to train people with. I'm going to put it together now. I'm going to buy it now.
Well, speaking of lowers, I took your advice, Ben, about a month ago, and I ordered a complete lower from PSA, and I love it. It was less than $200, and it's complete. I didn't even have to put anything together. I got it, and I dropped one of my uppers on top of it. That might be something people want to do as well.
You can do that. Palmetto State Armory is what you're talking about, PSA, and that's where I ordered my lower kit from. This is the first time I've actually used one of their rifle kits and going to build it. And I'll let you know after I put everything together. I just got it in the mail. And I love the Spikes Tactical lower receivers.
Those are good, too.
So I bought another Spikes Tactical. And since I'm with the gun shop, I get gun show pricing. My kit, the kit was $80. And then I paid like $90 for the lower receiver because I got a friends and family and work. And I love you discount from Sparks Firearms. So I got the lower cheap, too. So I'm going to put my kit together for whatever that is, 90 and 80s. So it's still 170.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit cheaper than you, but not by much. But right now that rifle, I mean, we're still selling those M&P Sport 2s for $599.
Wow.
Complete with the rear sight and the front sight, just pretty much a mil-spec rifle ready to go for $599. They're all awesome.
Yeah, and you know, what do you think of this, Ben? The reason I talk about ammo and magazines, the reason I suggest buying ammo and magazines is for anti-gun politicians, those seem to be the two items that they can easily restrict, ammo and magazines.
The mags, yeah, I think they're going to go after the rifles. The magazines are going to be a second thought, but they always do. The ammo, I kind of like your idea of buying a bunch of ammo. The ammo is, the prices are as low as they're ever going to get. Nothing's going to do anything besides go up. So if you want to shoot a lot like I do, the ammo prices are only going to go up. Now is a good time to buy stuff. If Clinton gets elected, she's going to choke off the flow from overseas. It's going to choke off the price. All that cheap Wolf and Tula ammo that I like to shoot, it's all going to be gone. But when that's gone, I'm still going to shoot. So then I'll start buying Federal or Winchester, God forbid, and buying other stuff or whatever's on the market, Blazer, CCI, whatever I can get, Spear. I'll be buying that stuff. So then that supply will be less because I'll be buying that instead of buying the stuff from overseas. Same thing with a lot of people. They'll be buying that stuff instead of the overseas. So the supply is going to shrink a lot. When the supply shrinks, the demand stays about the same. Inelasticity, all that stuff that you learned in economics, that price is going to go up.
Yeah. Well, in magazines, you know, if, again, and please don't call me a pessimist anymore, but if she does get elected and brings back the assault weapons ban, which is bogus, or even brings it back in a different form, we could be stuck with 10-round pistol magazines, too. So buy what you can buy right now and buy plenty of them.
And don't go crazy, because now is a good time to buy. But, yeah, if you got an extra couple $100 lying around, you're thinking, what should I do with this? And you're not going to buy some mags, buy some ammo, buy a rifle. If you ever want one, buy one. If you don't have extra magazines, and here's, I said this the last time, the run-up. You need 6 or 7 magazines for everything. And if you're going to go base, you need a standard law enforcement loadout for your handgun. You need 3 magazines, 3 good duty magazines. For your rifle, you need a standard military loadout, 7 mags. That's your base when you start to do this stuff. Now, training-wise, I want at least 3 good carry mags for my pistol and 3 that I train with.
Absolutely.
And I like to do a second set of 3. So I'm really, most of my pistols, I have 9 or 10 mags lying around. My rifle mags, I've been collecting AR mags for 20 years now. I have so many of them. And just every once in a while, I buy a P mag off of the rack at the shop. I just go in, it's $15. I'll take one.
Yep.
And so, I probably have 10 P mags floating around my house. And I'm guessing, because I just found a bag of magazines that I couldn't find the other day. It's like, I have more magazines than this.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
And I was looking around, and in my garage, in this obscure storage thing I have that I don't use. And I looked in there, and there's like 40 mags in there, rifle mags, AR mags. So I probably have about 100 AR mags floating around my house.
That happened to me about a month ago. I was doing some inventory of all my shooting stuff, and I found a box of Lancer mags. 30-round Lancer AR mags that I just totally forgot that I even had. I hate it when that happens.
That's killer. And my 100 mags is probably overkill. But if you can think of each rifle that you have having that basic loadout, each handgun you have having that basic loadout, so if you have 5 Glocks, you probably want to have
30 magazines.
Well, 15 Glock magazines 15. For them, 3 each. So you have that basic loadout. So you can always do each gun has its own basic loadout. And then from there, start gaining. I have 4 ARs now, so I still have 25 magazines each. That's kind of overkill. But if you think about that, start looking at that, and that's a basic number. And then the guns that you train with all the time, the guns that you carry, you should have 9 or 10 mags, 3 loadouts for those. With the rifle too, if that's your AR go-to rifle, think about having 2 or 3 loadouts. So that's 14 or 21 mags for that rifle. If you guys are running something oddball, anybody hear me on this? You are running an oddball system. Bob is completely right. Now is the time to buy. If you're running an old AUG that took the Steyr AUG magazines and wouldn't take anything else, you need to have like 21 of those things. You may not be able to get them again next month or next year. You need to have a bunch of them. If you're running a standard AR, those things will always be around because people like me have 100 of them in my garage. Military's still using them. Military guys acquire them all the time, and they'll sell them on the black market. Don't do anything illegal. That's not what I said. I just said that that's going to happen. But if you have an oddball system, Steyr AUG, I'm thinking if you're running a Colt 9mm carbine that takes Colt 9mm mags, if you're even running one of the Uzi systems, if you bought into the old Taurus that's no longer around, their 9mm carbine, anything that takes oddball magazines. And I'm trying to think of another rifle that takes an oddball magazine, but...
Well, I can think of a couple of pistols. Like, if you have, like, really old-fashioned pistols, like if you got, like, an old CZ-52 or you got a Makarov or something like that, you know, buy up a bunch of magazines, because especially those foreign guns, the gun banners like to shut down the importation of foreign firearms and magazines.
Yeah, and then with the pistol, I kind of think that you only need half as many mags as you would with the rifle. I'm thinking that you'd be able to get those easier, and there'll be more 10-round equivalents. Because a 10-round equivalent on a pistol is really easy to put a block on the bottom and make the 15-round magazine a 10-round magazine permanently and not have any problems with that. All they have to do is change out the follower or the base plate or the spring plate, and you've got a 10-round magazine for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So that could be easily done. The rifle mags, not so much. So that I'm thinking oddball rifles. If you have any of that stuff, buy a bunch of magazines now. But other than that, AR mags, you'll see the run-up coming. You'll see the laws coming. And sitting here thinking about talking to you, and I said the magazine ban is going to be an afterthought. I say afterthought, but it's really going to be an attachment to anything. Any law that they try to pass that tries to ban guns is going to have a little line there that says only 10-round magazines are allowed. Just every single one of them is going to have that in the bottom of the law as an afterthought, as a second thought. And it might get cut out. It might not. But it's always going to, they're always going to try it. It's always just going to be thrown in there.
Well, it's always going to be thrown in there. And like I said, for the anti-gun politicians, that's the easiest stuff for them to control. The magazines, the ammo, the requirements like that, or things that you can purchase and that you can't purchase. You know, I know a lot of people are worried about confiscation.
I think
confiscation is really, really, really unlikely. I know that a lot of us are worried about it. I'm worried about it. But it's like way at the bottom of my list of worries, because confiscation would be really, really difficult to do. I'm not saying impossible, but it's easy for them to shut down future purchases. Do you agree?
And then they're going to take the long way. Look at what's happening in New York and then happening in Massachusetts. In New York, there's, for lack of better words, there's a gun death squad. They check the obituaries versus the registered guns to people. And in New York City and New York County and most of New York State, if you die and you have guns registered to you, a law enforcement officer or more will show up at your family's doorstep after you're dead and demand the guns by serial number.
Yep.
And when I say demand, they're going to come in and take the guns.
Oh, but how do they know what guns and what serial numbers you own?
In New York, you got to register them all.
That's why we don't want registration. Now, in nice states like Texas and many of the others out there that don't have registration, it's going to be pretty difficult for them to figure out what you have.
Yeah. And even anti-gun people I've talked to that like Hillary and like the Clintons and stuff and are big Democrats, when I start talking about that, and they're like, well, what do you mean? Well, confiscation is happening. Go read what happens in New York. Go read it. They're confiscating. Right. People die, and they take the firearms. What is that? That's confiscation.
That's confiscation, yeah.
So that's the long road that these people are looking at, and they don't mind, and Clintons don't mind, Hillary doesn't mind. It'll take them 20, 30 years to get all the firearms. It'll take them a generation. She said, I'm going to fundamentally change the firearms culture in America. That means she's going to get rid of these podcasts. She doesn't want us talking about it. She wants it to be kind of like Academy Sports and Outdoors did. It's the pornography that they keep behind the counter that they don't want anybody to see because it might offend somebody.
That's a good way to put it.
And so that's how she's going to change that, how you being a gun owner. And I dealt with this in California when all the bans came and stuff. I was a gun owner there and a shooter, and I wanted to be law enforcement. But you did not talk about firearms in mixed company. And I got to tell you, Bob, we're having lunch here at Red Robin, and we're talking to all these guns and different shootings and tactics and stuff, because that's all we do. And I still kind of get worried about what are people going to think around us, because that's how I was pressed into the culture in California. And here in Texas, it's generally better, because about half of the time, somebody will lean over and ask us a question about guns when we're talking about guns.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. But, and not about a mean question, but a question, oh, I've got this gun, what do you think about that? Or, where can I go shooting? Do you know a good place to get ammo? We get those cool questions, not, you know, how could you be evil and own a gun? That's what we were always afraid of. In California, you can almost start a barroom brawl in a restaurant by talking about guns openly.
Well, and I think what we're headed for in this country, even if Donald Trump does win the election, I still think we're headed for, as far as gun ownership, we're headed for a very, very divided America. We're going to have a large group of states that are going to be gun-friendly, and they're going to stay that way. And we're going to have a large group of states that are going to make you feel like a felon just for owning a gun.
And it's, the divide is a great way to put it. I heard somebody on the radio talking about, and I think it was Jack Spirico. I kind of like him. He's kind of crazy, but I like him. He fits in well with me. But he was talking about, you know, if you have these cool things about, like, Syrian refugees, are we going to let refugees in or not? Is that a good idea or not? Well, if we sat down and gave somebody all the information, how can we be split 50-50 throughout the country on whether that's a good idea or not? It's because nobody isn't informed. We're not informed voters. We don't get informed. We don't read about this stuff. And we just go from our gut. And generally, our gut is from whatever our friends or the side of the dichotomy, the whatever class we like, either the Democrats or the Republicans. Well, I like the Republicans. They said that the Syrian thing is bad, so it must be bad. And now we've got this divide across the country of 50-50. And that's kind of how gun ownership is. We don't sit down and talk to each other. We just go, oh, guns bad, or oh, guns good. we don't sit down and have a legitimate discussion. Because there is legitimate discussions on the people on the bottom end of the gun grabber side. And they're afraid that terrorists are going to come in here and kill everybody and use guns. Well, that's a legitimate thing. We need to have a discussion about that. How do we stop terrorists from importing guns and using them to kill people in malls and using them to kill children in schools?
That's very difficult to stop that.
Yes, but that is a legitimate discussion that we should be having and talking about it. Well, they just go and follow their side of the argument that says, you know, all guns bad, we outlaw guns, nobody will have guns but the cops, and it'll stop terrorist attacks. We know that's not true, but it makes them feel better. And then our side of the thing is we know more guns good, more guns less terrorist attacks because we shoot bad guys.
Right, and then we just go shoot back.
And we go that far off, and then we just say that, and there's no discussion between the two ends about, well, is this a good idea or not? What is this going to look like in reality on the ground? How is this going to work? What's it going to look like? Has it worked in the past? Let's look at some history. Where has it worked? Where has it failed? What has happened? And have a real discussion about how we can solve a real problem. There's no crap. And terrorists, man, the more we screw around with the Middle East and the more we screw around different places, the more terrorists are going to come shoot us.
Yeah, just absolutely. The way it is. Absolutely. So getting back to panic buying, which we know is going to happen, but let's not even call it panic buying. Let's just call it good planning. What
financial
would you
plan and get a rifle?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? Seriously, you know, you're not going to hear an investment strategist talk about buying guns and ammo as an investment. But what's the likelihood in the next 2 years that a gun is going to go down in value?
Not much, really. Well, let's take we'll take the M&P 15 Sport 2 because I like that gun. It's one of my favorite bottom end ARs. I can't believe Smith & Wesson is making such a great gun that generally retails right at $600. It just blows my mind. Years ago, a $600 rifle I wouldn't even touch because it's going to be a piece of junk. You'd be lucky if it doesn't blow up in your face. Now it's one of those guns that I sell, I would shoot. It's a great gun.
It's the M&P 15 Sport 2?
Yeah, and that's on the bottom end. There's a lot of people who make that price gun. It's better than the Colt for the bottom-end rifle. It's better than a Delton for the bottom-end rifle. It's better than just about everything in that price range. The DPMS, Bushmaster makes one now. Everybody's trying to make one into that price range. But I got to tell you, Smith & Wesson was there first, and they're just still doing it the best. But so take that rifle. $600. You find a good deal on it. You get it for $600 or less, plus tax, whatever. So $600. As soon as you walk out the door, yes, you cannot retail that gun back for to somebody for $600. It's going to be like a used car. You're going to, as soon as you drive that, or a new car, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it's going to lose value. So as soon as you take that thing out of the box, away from the FFL system, now it's worth $500.
Okay.
Give or take. Okay. I'm just going to call, that's what I've seen dumb prices going around, guys walking around saying it's brand new in box.
So you've only lost
selling it.
You've only lost $100, but a year from now,
it could still
be worth a whole lot more.
A year from now, it'll still be worth $500 or more. It's going to take that initial hit when you take it out of the box, but it will never be worth less than that unless you shoot out the barrel. You know, if you put 10,000 rounds through it or 15,000 rounds through it, it could be worth less. But if you just shoot it normally, you take it to one class where you fire 800 rounds a year, that thing is never going to be worth less than that $500 that it is right when you buy it.
And if we have another situation like we had after Sandy Hook, and all of a sudden, for some reason, they're either restricted or people are panicking, now that $599 rifle could be worth
$1,500. The easy way, just add a one. That's the way the pricing is going to go on those rifles. Any rifle in that bottom end category, you're going to add a one.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just going to be, it'll be worth $1,500.
Yeah.
And you could sell it, and you could have people lined up, to, and you could start bidding on it.
Well, the thing to do is buy two of those rifles.
And I've seen a couple of people do that.
Buy two of them. One that you plan on keeping as your defensive rifle, and the other one that you shoot and, you know, occasionally take it out to the range, but maybe one that you eventually sell off later when things price-wise get favorable for you.
Or at this price, this is going to sound crazy, but I just advised a high-end client of ours at Sparks Firearms who wants to buy the $2,000 or $3,000 AR because he thinks it's going to be longevity better, and then he's talking about what extra parts should I buy. buy a LaRue Tactical for $2,200 and then buy a Smith & Wesson Sport for $600. That is your cannibalizing gun. So if you buy two of them and something breaks, well, one, you could just set that rifle down and pick up your other one because they're both the same, or you can cannibalize one for parts and keep guns going. And right now, you'd have everything. So if you think about anything that could break on your rifle system, one of the biggest ones you're going to lose is parts inside the bolt carrier group or the bolt itself. Well, you have a complete another bolt carrier group. Just pull it out of that rifle, stick it in your other rifle.
Yep.
And then you still have a bunch more parts. A lot of the things that seem to break, and I've seen them, is the gas tubes. You have problems with that. The gas tube breaks. Pull it out of the other one, put it in the new one. If you break a handguard, a stock, if you break a trigger pin, or you have a trigger pin walk out on you and you lose it, the springs go bad inside the trigger mechanism, or all you dum-dums, and yeah. I'm going to say all of us dum-dums would be a better way to put it. You know you've taken something off of your AR you shouldn't have when the spring flies across the room and you can't find it. We've all done it.
I've done it.
We've all done it. I know if you've taken parts across your AR, or you spend the next 2 hours on your hands and knees and you eventually find that spring. You have the other rifle with that spring in there.
Believe it or not, it's funny you say that. This is one of the reasons why I like Glock pistols or M&Ps that can be worked on.
There's only one spring in the M&P that'll fly across the room on you. Don't lose it.
Well, you know what I did one time? I lost a Glock barrel. I bought a replacement barrel. I bought a Wilson Combat barrel for one of my G19s. And the original factory barrel, I put it somewhere, and I lost it for 6 months. I finally found it.
You found it finally. I know.
I finally found the barrel. And but for 6 months, it was in my house missing. And then the place that I found it, I went, oh, yeah, I remember putting it there.
But I put it where I wouldn't lose it.
I put it where I wouldn't lose it and then never saw it again for six months.
So, you know, you guys thinking about that rifle could be a great way to go if you're thinking, I need something that's going to last forever and ever. If you shoot out that barrel, you've got another barrel.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm a big fan of buying two. Whatever gun that you like, whatever rifle, whatever handgun or shotgun that you like, own two of them.
Have a second carry gun. I've got a second carry gun. I know you got one. I shoot my M&P all the time. That's the only gun I carry. I got a second one in the safe. It may be bone stock, but it fits in all the holsters, all the magazines fit, all the ammo runs the same.
Exactly. And this is the kind of, you know, pre-planning buying that you need to be doing. You know, I have more than two Glock pistols, so I can cannibalize parts from one into the other, and I could do it over several different pistols. So in whether, even if Glocks are not your thing, if M&Ps or XDs or even 1911s are your thing, own at least two. In this day and age with what we're facing politically in this country and just what makes common sense, I think it makes sense to own two.
Yeah, and then even three is better if you guys are big shooters like me and you want to keep guns running. I know from working overseas where we had the worst ARs ever. They were high standard. This is one company I will throw completely under the bus because it is the worst built AR I've ever seen. They fell apart on us left and right. But I was able, we had like 60 of them, 60 something of them.
Yeah.
But I was able to cannibalize four or five of them to keep the other 60 running.
Yeah.
So you can see how those numbers get really big really fast. So if you had three rifles, you could probably cannibalize one of them to keep the other two going for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ben. Hopefully we've given people some things to think about here because, you know, at the time of this recording, it is late August, and November 8th is coming real soon, and we don't know what's going to happen. And like I said, regardless of what happens, people always seem to get funny in election years.
Yeah, and then it's all going to be about how people take it. And it might not be just your area. You may be talking to all the shooters around you and be like, yeah, you know, no big deal. We live in Texas. Nobody's really doing anything. But it really is on a national level when your local gun shop is trying to get Smith & Wesson M&P 15s. If they are buying them like crazy in Massachusetts because that lady gets reneged and it goes through the courts and they put a stay on it and they let shops sell them again, those people will be buying rifles like there was no tomorrow. And all of the supply throughout the country is going to go to that little area, and then the supply will drive up for the rest of the country. So just because your area is not going crazy doesn't mean that it might not go crazy, period.
Somewhere else.
So it's kind of hard to watch that political attitude. But, hey, sometimes maybe just, you know, go see your local gun shop.
Yeah.
You got to go talk to them anyways. You got to see what's new in stock, right? I mean, Bob does that. He just drops in the gun shop. What do you got new, Ben? Let's see what we got. You know, walk in every couple weeks, and then you'll be able to keep your finger on the pulse, and you'll be like, oh, P-Mag's doubled in price.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should buy some. Maybe I should look online if I can order 10 of them right now. You know, oh, ammo just shot up. Maybe we should go to modernselfprotection.com/ammo, my affiliate for Lucky Gunner.
There you go.
Free tag right there for myself. And buy a bunch of ammo. And I only say that because that's where I buy ammo, and now Bob, that's where he buys all his ammo, Lucky Gunner.
ModernSelfProtection.com/ammo. I just placed an order recently. And I'll go ahead and put a plug in. Sparks Firearms, that's where Ben works if you're in San Antonio. That's where I get my guns. That's where you need to get your guns and mags. And you got any specials going on right now?
Those M&P Sports, I still got like 5 of them left in stock after this last week.
Really? Okay.
So I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but... And then on the other half, if you guys are just looking for an AR, right now the boss went crazy. I probably have 20 different SKUs of ARs in stock right now.
Wow.
3 or 4 different style Colts, a couple Rock Rivers, just probably 20 different guns in stock.
And right you have now, stripped lowers, right?
Spikes Tactical and Stags.
Spikes Tactical and Stags stripped lowers.
I love the Spikes Tactical. Just funny. So Spikes Tactical puts funny things on their rifles. They're really cool. So we have the Honey Badger one. So it has in the front logo area. So it's a Spikes Tactical on the magwell. It has a picture of a Honey Badger on it, kind of a little cartoon outline picture. It's pretty funny. So then on the safety part where you put the safety on the rifle, it says safe, fire, and Honey Badger don't give a beep. it's kind of funny. Good. They always put something on the fire part in the full auto part that's just hilarious. The zombie one says live, dead, and undead. And then they have the Crusader lower that's in, I forget what language on one side, and then English on this on the other, and it says peace, war, and God wills it.
Oh,
so it's kind of, it's funny. You can go in and see that. The zombie one was just always my favorite. It has a little stupid zombie head. I don't even like I don't really like the logo that much. But when it says live, dead, and undead for safe, fire, and full auto, I'm like, that's just awesome.
It is.
So I think that second one I bought is it's a zombie lower just because I had to have that.
You had to have that.
Got it.
All right, Ben, thanks for coming on again.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Bob. Thanks for having everybody listening. You guys all rock. Go to Bob's page. Tell him you like him. He needs a little love right now.
Hey, we also have some classes coming up, which we'll talk about separately on our podcast. But Ben and I, during lunch, we just got done planning 2017, the classes that we're going to be teaching next year. Yes, I am going back on the road a few times next year to teach some classes. So be listening to the intros and the conclusions of our show, because we're going to be talking about them.
And we decided that Honey Badgers sure don't give a... We're going to do classes no matter who gets elected.
Aren't we going to do it with the Honey Badger?
If I could find a Honey Badger.
Honey Badger's going to show up and be one of our instructors.
If you guys know Stanley, ask Stanley to come over. If you know where that's from, that's one of my favorite things. Ask Stanley to come teach a class with us.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bye. Thank you, Ben. Good stuff. Please remember to check out the Shooters Club that Ben and I produce. Over 60 instructional videos and informative audio podcasts for only $8 per month. $8 per month or $75 a year. I have an incentive for you. If you're thinking about joining the Shooters Club, for new signups, the next 10 people that sign up get a free Handgun World podcast hat. We've got 10 of them left over from the last promo. Once they're gone, they're gone. That's it. I probably won't have any more produced for a while. So get your Handgun World podcast hat. And if you real nice to Ben Branham... do something for him. I know he's got some extra Shooters Club hats. So you might want to
email him, ben@modernselfprotection.com. As always, my email, bob@handgunworld.com, bob@handgunworld.com. Voicemail, 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. If you want to ask me a question, make a comment, be on the Handgun World podcast, just call that number, 210-646-1727. Thank you for making your Amazon purchases through my Amazon store. You can help support the Handgun World podcast without having to spend any extra money. How cool is that? If you're going to buy something on Amazon, just go to handgunworld.com first and go to my Amazon store. So just those two steps, handgunworld.com, Amazon store, follow that link. Three steps, three simple steps, actually. Then you'll be able to sign into your Amazon account and help support the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click. Or this happened to me. A click when I was expecting a bang. It's a loud sound. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.